Yep, Charlie.
Yes, Charlie, can hear you loud and clear across the car. How are you keeping?
Good. It's sorry, tricky talking. I'm in the hot seat tonight, Karen can't attend, so I'd like you to bear with me because I've no hard copy. I'm just working off two or three different screens here. So, first of all, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening and hope everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regard to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded from discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found doing so will be given a warning. Failure to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You'll then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed, hopefully. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on your delegate microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. The cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant message to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, or type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using that instant messaging facility. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chair will call for a proposer and a seconder. This shall be done using the instant messaging feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated to the instant messaging will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer or seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. And if you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messaging feature so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Do we have any apologies?
Yes, Chair. We have apologies from Councillors McKevitt and Gallagher.
Lovely. Anyone else? No? There's just a couple of chairman's remarks, if that's okay. The programmes unit organised two funding training sessions in December with 209 people in attendance, with another two planned for January via Teams. The first event included input from a number of external funders. Among these included DERA, CRC, Sport NI, National Lotteries Community Fund. Congratulations to the members and staff of Newry Morning Down PCSP on being awarded the Public Sector Award for Road Safety at the recent NI Road Safety Awards. The PCSP were nominated for the award by the PSNI in recognition of their many successful road safety initiatives which they have undertaken over recent years with the Pauli project. Congratulations also to the PCSP and the PSNI on the launch of their new mobile engagement unit vehicle. This is the first of its kind in the UK and is equipped with a wide range of gaming consoles to increase community police engagement. The works were part funded by the NI House Executive and contributions from PCNSA and PCSP. On to item number three, the action sheet. Just go through it page by page, if that's okay.
Sorry, Chair, just declarations of interest first.
Oh, apologies, Chair. Anyone got any declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
Okay. On now to item number three, which is the action sheet, page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, page six, page seven, page eight, page nine, page 10, page 11, page 12, and page 13. Can we have a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by...
Sorry, Chair, no, we've questioned then from Councillor Murray. Oh,
right.
Proposed by...
Yeah.
Proposed by Farrell Murray, seconded by Josh Sharvin.
Yeah.
That's a proposal seconded, Chair. Just a simple question. Just under AHC 017, the sports facility strategy, sports hubs. I just say that it's ongoing and that it's to develop the development of a sports development strategy for the council and to further prioritise the development and establishment of sports hubs across the district. Just to find out if Paul's on the call, just where's that at the minute and when's it likely to reach a conclusion?
Councillor Murray, you may be aware of the consultations that took place with sports groups in late November, early December. We held three focus groups, if you like, across the district, one in Near Ely Centre, one in Kilkeel, and one in Downpatrick. So they've just gone through that process. There's actually going to be another one, an online one, happen in early January as well for any sports clubs and groups that missed out, just to get that feedback. There's also a survey currently out at the moment. If any councillors want to encourage their sports clubs and groups to complete that survey, that'll be much appreciated. I suppose we have to wait for those things to pan out and a report to be considered at that stage, but we're hoping, early February, to have a bit of a conclusion on that. Councillor Mayor, have you taken any more questions?
Copy that, Barbara. Okay, thanks a lot, Paul. No one else any issues with that?
And so Andrews has a question there.
Go ahead.
Thanks very much, Charlie. Thanks, Charlie. I asked the following question in relation to the Dark Cross and the Connacht, the leasing process. Is there any update on how the matter's progressing? Chair, thank you very much.
Councillor Andrews, I'm assuming you're referring to the play parks, is that right?
I'm a day chair, yes. Thank you, Paul.
No problem. We're working with the clubs on that. There's not so much an issue at Darra Cross, something we have to work through with the GAA element of it and Croke Park and stuff, but they're all progressing with the lease arrangements as planned.
Yeah, that news is very much welcome. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Chair, for letting me in.
No bother, Terry. On now to item number four, which is the DEA Forums Update Report. Janine, I think that's you.
Yes, Chair. Monthly DEA action sheets are attached for members with the summary sheet. So we're seeking approval for action sheets coming out of the Mourns, Sleeve Gullion and Cratley DEAs. Happy to take any questions.
Barry, you proposed you have a question also.
Yeah, thanks a million. Janine, you know at the meeting of the Sleeve Gullion DEA Forum, I raised the issue of the James Reel Play Park in Silverbridge. There's been a lot of meetings and discussions about it ever since that. At the start, I suppose by the time our DEA Forum was meeting, what I was requesting was that there would be some sort of financial assistance for the group. It maybe doesn't look like they're going to need the financial assistance at this stage, but it's maybe assistance in terms of maintenance and you know, moving on down through the years, just the looking after of, and fixing of it and that. So I've been talking with Michael Lipset on it, and he was suggesting that we could make the proposal maybe to have it included on the play strategy, and that, you know, the benefit of getting it onto the play strategy would be that there would be no big cost to the council. You know, if some other councillor come and says, I want a play park in a village in my DEA, it might cost the council £200,000 this year. Has all been, well, mostly all been fundraised by the community group, and I suppose what they're looking from the council would be some sort of support in terms of the support offered to other play parks within the play strategy. So if at all possible, I suppose that's why the queue in to see would it be appropriate to make a proposal here that we could start looking about how this new park that's going in Silver Bridge could be incorporated into the play strategy. That'd be fair enough, Janine.
Maybe I can comment on that, Janine.
Yes, yeah. Sure. It's probably better Paul can comment on the strategy, if that's okay.
Barra, yeah, thanks for that. I did have a discussion with Michael about it, and we did talk about there is an element even outlined within the play strategy of how council can continue to support community organisations that decide to develop a play park on their own. In saying that, all council play parks, whether they're in the play strategy or not, because I know a lot of them sit within tourism, the ongoing maintenance, upkeep and stuff like that actually does sit with neighbourhood services. So it's probably worthwhile us having a discussion with them. And, you know, Michael's back next week, but after Christmas, we can have a bit further discussion on it. But there's already scope within it to help support, to some degree, other community groups within the play strategy, and maybe it's an extension of that particular point within the strategy that we can go have a talk to the neighbourhood service section to see how we can get some support for that group.
Good. Before I take the next two people who have queued up, there, I'll just, Leanne seconded item number four, and Councillor Aoife Finnegan has seconded Barra's proposal. So that should be noted, Sarah.
Yeah, that's fine, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Question. Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, it's in relation to the current training that's out for the DEAs, particularly new forum members. Janine, has that been advertised, or how are we reaching out to get new members on board for the DEAs? And just in relation to Barra's question, I think he might have been at it, the Neighbourhood Services Workshop that was held a couple of weeks ago, the play park maintenance and upkeep was mentioned, so hopefully through that workshop we can tackle all the issues that we're facing across the district. But just the question around the training for new DEA forum members, and clarify that all existing members need to do the training to come back on to the DEA forums.
Yes, through the chair, we have an exercise out at the minute to get assistance from an external provider through the Strategic Stakeholder Forum. We had brought that paper previously. From memory, although I'll check the detail of it, the proposal was to throw the net as far as possible in terms of training, and that would include people who are considering reapplication to DEA forums. So, in short, yes.
And we'll do that in, is it possible to have that in the local papers as well, Janine? Just, you know, not everyone's on social media, and it would be good to reach out to the rural areas where, you know, particularly in some areas, they're not getting membership from there, and that's what we really need as well, is a balance.
Yes, through the chair, we will definitely look at that. The focus has to be those more rural areas where some of the places were never even filled. So it is a more targeted approach.
All right, brilliant. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, John, Councillor John Jenner.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose the first thing I'm going to say is the DA forums are brilliant. Our DA coordinators have to be applauded for the work that they do, and the independent members and elected members who give such valuable contributions to them also have to be applauded. It's maybe a question around how effective have they been in terms of the grand scale of community planning and maybe Janine might be able to help me on this one, is how effective have they been in helping shape the strategic directions through the thematic working groups of community planning? The only reason I ask this question is because I know certainly from the last 12 months that I haven't seen much movement in terms of thematic working groups. And there are a lot of issues that are dealt with, certainly through the forums, I know certainly through the Downpatrick Forum, which pertain to issues that are outside of council's control, and the community planning is the vehicle to try and move it. I'm just trying to see how effective have the forums been in that instance of the process.
Okay. Through the chair, at last month's AHC, I think it was last month, Michael had presented a paper on the community plan and partnership and the review that it was about to undertake. So we're going out to procure a consultant to review community planning in full, and the terms of reference for that include a wholesale review of the DEA forums, because as members are aware, they are part and parcel of the overall community plan structure within council. There's always been issues and discussion around the thematic working groups, and within the consultation as well, we have built in measures to look at how effective partners feel those forums have been, and also a bit of a review as to how partners have engaged in those forums. So in short, we're hoping that the review will pick up on all of that and be able to bring back strong recommendations on what needs to happen with the entire community plan and partnership structure. Hopefully it answers your question.
Thanks very much, Jenny. We're happy enough to move on to item number 5, Community Coordination Hub update before Janine, that's you again.
Yes, Chair, me again. Our monthly Community Coordination Hub report, members will see discussion focused on the development of a social supermarket scheme. Also, we're trying to support more families around the rising cost of utility bills. And we have reference in there also to the Norbrook Hot Food Scheme, which is rolled out this year also in advance of Christmas. And just to remind members that Norbrook and the staff have donated 250 meals a week for 6 weeks in the run-up to Christmas. And then in the last week have asked us to work with our trusted community partners and volunteers to give out up to 800 toy and food hampers. Sorry. So we're looking for approval for the actions contained within that action sheet, Chair.
Thanks very much for that. Proposed by Councillor John Traynor. Do we have a seconder there? Councillor Gerry O'Hara. Must commend Norbrook for their sterling work there, no doubt about it. On now to item number, no questions, no, happy enough. Item number 6, application to DFC for funding towards IT equipment for neighbourhood renewal groups in Uri and Downpatrick. Janine, that's you again.
Yes, Chair, we're just looking for permission to apply to DFC for funding to provide IT resources for groups in the district. The application would be around £20,000 and it's to try and purchase laptops, software and printers. And as you've referenced, that will be targeted to the neighbourhood renewal areas of Downpatrick and Uri.
Thanks. We'll have a proposal from Councillor Tinley and a seconder from Councillor Traynor. We have a question there from Councillor Pete Bourne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, for letting me in. I've no problem with the paper. It's very welcome. But is it departmental direction that it is with the Downpatrick and Uri neighbourhood renewal areas? Because rural communities certainly have huge barriers in terms of not being able to hold face-to-face meetings, and are, you know, obviously in a rural area poses problems itself. But from the department, is there similar schemes that will help out rural areas with IT equipment, community groups that don't have access to it? Or how do we address the same issue in rural areas? These are the type of things that I go down through and I go, how do we get past rural proofing on this? Thanks, Chair.
Chair, are you happy for me to come back in?
Yeah, go ahead, Jean.
Sorry, in short, yes, it is being targeted through the neighbourhood renewal areas, and that would be something that DFC would do on a regular basis. What I can do is take back the members' comments to the next Community Coordination Hub meeting and ask for members to consider the rollout of this type of a programme in other rural areas outside of neighbourhood renewal designated areas at present. That's, if you're happy with that proposal, Chair, I can take that as an action.
Yeah, that's great, Shane. Thank yeah, thanks, Charlie. Thanks very much.
Thank you. On now to health and wellbeing section, item number 7. Keep an eye, beautiful contributions for 22 and 23. Owen.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, this is a request for support for two of Keeping On Iron Beautiful's programme that members are probably aware of. Firstly, the Live Here, Love Here programme that we've been supporting for a number of years. There's three aspects of that, a media campaign, support and volunteering, and also a small grant scheme. So of our contribution, they give half of that money back to our area in small grants. And the second one, again, as members are probably aware, is the Eco Schools programme. So we're just looking for permission to make the contributions as stated in the report. There's provision has been made within the estimates, and we also want approval to develop an SLA with Keeping On Iron Beautiful for both these programmes.
Do we have a proposal and a second for what Owen is suggesting there? Proposed by Councillor John Trainor, seconded by Councillor McMurray. Thank you very much for that. On now to item number 8, that's you again, Owen.
Thank you, Chair. Again, this relates to a request for support, again, which we do on an annual basis for Sustainable Northern Ireland. So it's to consider, agree to provide financial support for Sustainable Northern Ireland and to sign an SLA in relation to this. As people might be aware, Sustainable Northern Ireland is a charity set up to pursue sustainable development and climate change, etc. As part of this, we do get an element of training and consultancy as well, so just looking for approval. Again, the money has been included in the estimates, and we're also looking for approval to develop and sign an SLA with them for this amount of money.
We have a proposal there from Councillor McMurray, and a seconder from Councillor Trainor. Any comments, anyone on that? No, happy enough to move on to item number 9. You again, Owen.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, this consultation response on the reduction of single-use plastics, beverage cups and food containers. So we're just looking for approval to return the attached response. We returned a response by the required date, which was last Friday, but on the provision that it would be subject to council approval. And we would confirm that with them after the meeting and the call-in period, etc. So again, just looking for approval for the response.
Are our members all happy enough to propose and second that? No one moving yet. Proposed by Councillor O'Hare. We have a seconder. Seconder by Councillor Barrow Murray. That's good. Thanks for that. On now to item number 10, Food Strategy Framework. On again.
Yeah, again. Looking for approval to return a consultation response on the Northern Ireland Food Strategy Framework, which is a wide-ranging document covering all sorts from health, the health of food well-being, food sustainability, economic prosperity, food culture, food education. So again, on a similar basis, we have returned the response by the required date and the proviso that is subject to approval. So just looking for that approval now. Thanks.
There we are, members. We have a proposal and a seconder for item number 10 there. Proposed by Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Jarlath Tenley. Anybody missed out on questions here? No? It's coming thick and fast here. Happy enough? On now to item number 11. The Green Growth Strategy, Owen, it's you again.
Again, another consultation response. There are seeking views on the proposals for the Northern Ireland Green Growth Strategy. So the strategy outlines 10 key promises. It will be submitted by the required date, which is tomorrow, on the proviso that is subject to approval. So again, just looking for approval to return the attached consultation response.
Proposal and
seconder,
please. Proposed by Councillor Gareth Chavin and seconded by Councillor McMurray. Happy enough to move on. On to leisure and sport. Discounted use of council facilities. Paul, I think that's you. It's item number 12.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members will recall the notice of motion that's resulted in a 50% discount for NHS workers, which was agreed back in August. AHC committee. We've had a number of subsequent requests from about extending the 50% discount to maybe potentially public sector workers private sector workers and expanding it further. I suppose this report is suggesting that we do have a corporate membership that can offer up to 30% discounts within that process, which is attached for members to see. I suppose we're looking approval for that. Any further discounts to leisure facilities are aligned to the council's corporate membership policy as per Appendix 1. So I'm happy to take any questions on that.
Yeah, we have a proposer from Councillor Walker and a second from Councillor Morgan. Both of them have comments. William, it's you first.
Sure, thank you very much. Paul, I welcome you for bringing this paper forward. As you know, I'd met with yourself, meeting with you and Michael there a couple of weeks ago in relation to it. As I say, I'd propose it because there has been a number of people out there who are in the domiciliary care and that, and they're feeling a bit hard done by when they've seen that the National Health Service workers had been getting a discount. And speaking to Paul on that, I think this is maybe the right way forward, applying for corporate membership and that, where they then would get a discount in that. And I think it shows that we're respecting what they've been doing in the community, because they have went the extra mile too, so they have in relation to it. Particularly, we have elderly people and that, and they can't get out and that because of COVID, or they won't go out because of COVID and that. And the only people they see is their home helps, as we would call them, and that. So I welcome this paper, and I propose we accept the findings of it.
Laura, you have a comment there too?
Yeah, just more than happy to second this. It's a no-brainer, really, and it shows the council, proves the council's commitment to NHS workers and that there and use of facilities. So more than happy to second that.
It's good to have enough then. Any other comments, questions? No? Happy enough to move on. Thank you very much for that. Item number 13, charging points. Owen, it's just for noting, is it?
Sure, just for noting, yeah.
So the 13, 14, and 15 are all for noting. You have the papers there in front of you. Are you happy enough that they're all noted? There's a question there from Gareth and one from John Trainer and a comment from Pete. So Gareth, here first. Gareth, you're on.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And it is in relation to item 13, the charge points. I suppose, first of all, just to make remark that from my suggestion of contacting the DFA about the Blue Green Fund, it's good to see that the council will not be out of pocket at all for any of this cost, so we'll be getting 100% funding for it. Can I just clarify to the appendix that's there where it has a star and denotes that a penalty charge notice would be issued? And the one that triggered me was Killock. It's council's land. What reason would we be doing a penalty charge? And in addition to that, it's actually really good spread of the areas that we're targeting. You know, I'm thinking particularly the Lochiel Coast, where Strangford has a charge point. Then we're looking to do one in Ardlass, one in Killock. And maybe if we can loop in with the ERT department for our beaches, such as Trelle or Blue Fly beaches, you know, we can really tackle and have the whole coast of our district fully available for e-charging. There's just a couple of questions, Chair.
Do you want to respond to that, Owen, or do you want to?
In relation to the star, there is... There has been discussions at higher levels about, it's about where powers like this are available, as far as I know, in car parks that were handed over to us at RPA. I don't know the specific details, but I think it's to enable it. There would need to be legislation in place that would mean that anybody who misused, who took up the parking bay as a parking space, there has to be some sort of legislative change to allow that use to be enforced by means of a penalty charge. I can find out further details for that member.
Yeah, thanks, Owen. And Chair, just come back. The particular car park, I'm assuming I'm talking about the right car park because there is only one. It doesn't have white lines. There is no bays. It could do a resurface if we could do that too while putting in the charge point. But yeah, it'd be good if we could just clarify that, Owen, just to understand why that is. Thank you, Chair.
I will do.
Councillor John Turner.
Thank you, Chair. Again, like Gareth, welcome the fact that we've got this programme of work. It's much needed, certainly, and it is a good spread across the council area and across the DAs. My question is maybe along the lines of, we've obviously got 17 sites that are in front of us, and I imagine that there would have been a shortlisting to get to 17. Have we retained other potential sites for future programmes of work similar to this? Because obviously we're not just hoping to stop here. I would like to think that the hope is that we'll try and expand in this once it becomes successful. So that would be really the question, Chair, is that, you know, have we identified other sites that could be used in future programmes of work?
We will. There are a number of criteria that had to be met by the car parks for this. There are a number, as the members are probably aware, there are a number of different electric vehicle charging projects going on at the moment. You probably recall a couple of months ago we had set out other areas for an alternative project. So this will have been narrowed down from a wider list, yes. So it won't be exhaustive. Obviously all of these won't be suitable. This will then have to be put, NIE will have to look at these and look at access, grid capacity, existing infrastructure. But no, we will have. Obviously, this is going to be a long running and for the future. So we will have considered every potential car park. So this will not be exhaustive.
Thank you very much for that. Pete, you have a comment?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's in and around, obviously these 17 sites are going for feasibility, to see if they're feasible. And it's in and around the Star. But I want a distinct question maybe asked. I don't want the Cross Midland sites to come back as not being feasible because we can't issue PCNs because legislation has to change. Because then rural areas like Cross Midland would never be able to get these charging points. That surely, the legislation can surely be worked on at a later stage. Yes, we're never going to get it done in the next couple of months or year or whatever, the change in legislation on that. And that would rule out those three sites that have stars in them. I think we should be putting a response back with the DFI to say we understand that there's a change in legislation, but we still want to go ahead with these sites because we still need that. We still need that infrastructure in rural areas. It might be, yeah, it's not great that we can't issue penalty notices for it, but if that rules us out, then we are just going through a box ticking exercise here for Cross Midland, and it's going to come back. It's not feasible, and I want us from the outset to state that we are pushing for Cross Midland without that legislation in place. Thanks, Chair.
No, Chair, I don't believe that would rule it out. I think that's just highlighting that in the future, if that site was identified, there would be an issue with trying to enforce the misuse of the bays. But that is the list that we're proposing to put through. So they haven't been ruled out automatically because there's an asterisk at them. So, and we wouldn't intend that would be the case.
Mara.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. A lot of what I was going to say has already been said. It's just, I suppose when it comes to Slieve Gullion, I was listening to Pete there. Yeah, brilliant. We'll be pushing for Cross Midland to get charging points, electric charging points on the square in Cross Midland. It's a no-brainer. It's one of the busiest towns in Cross Midland. But it strikes me, you know, if we have electric charging points in Bessbrook as well, that's great. You think of the vast regions in between Cross Midland and Bessbrook where you're going to be encouraging maybe places like Jonesborough in one end of the thing, maybe somewhere like Whitecross or Newtown in another part of it, not there. But as a starting point, yeah, we'd definitely like to see Cross Midland getting these points on Bessbrook.
Charles.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie. My apologies, Charlie. I meant to put in a comment. Listen, this is a good start, but as previous councillors have sort of touched on it, it's 17 points, Chairman, equates currently till about one in every 10,000 residents within our district. And, I mean, if you think about it, in the next probably 15 to 20 years, diesel and petrol are going to be totally in the history books. And I actually think ultimately EV points should end up being part of house building programs and be attached to new houses eventually. So I am happy to see this collaborative approach with all our councillors. I think that's very important, that strength and numbers approach. But the one thing we don't want to do is sort of get caught out that this thing creeps up on us and we're not prepared. But it's a good start nonetheless. Thank you.
Terry.
Thanks, Chair. More or less, as I said, it's been a very interesting debate, and I'd like to thank the officers for bringing the paper forward. You know, I welcome the proposed one for Ballinhinch, and I'm sure as part of the process that points we're going to make is that the next Kelly, Sinfield, and other places being included. I know Charles and the previous speakers touched on with 2030 coming down the line, and the government's vision of e-powered cars and vehicles replacing what's in place at the moment. Are there any plans for enhancing and improving upon what is in place and being proposed for the future, and working in tandem with central government and regional funding to draw down funding to expand and advance upon? And I think Councillor Tenley did raise a very good point about future planning and all, and rolling the programme out, and future developments, and every unit has a charging point to it. So maybe that there could be looked at as well. But again, thanks for your indulgence, Chair.
Need to respond to any of them at all?
I'm not sure. Obviously, I'd agree with the comments by members. I suppose public charging points and ultimately will not be the answer to this. It's additional, and I suppose one point would be in rural areas, there's more likelihood people have their own either driveway or room to charge. The difficulties are maybe more in urban areas, but the answer will not be, I suppose, public charging points. We will avail of any opportunities. There are a number of opportunities come up for these types of projects, and we'll avail of what we can. So I will take all your points you've made on board.
Thanks. Sarah, even though those items are for noting, do I need a proposer that they're noted and seconder?
Yes, please.
Do we have a proposer or seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Trenor. Seconded by Councillor Leanne McAvoy. Thank you very much for that. On now to item number 16, overflow, Dunard Overflow Job Park Business Case. Now this item,
You're okay, yeah.
This item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3, part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. Could we have a proposal or second to go in the committee, please? I think we have it. Have we? No? There we are. Jared, pulled by Jerry Hearn, second by Josh Jarvin. So, Paul, that's you. So, sir, it's over to you now to read out. You with the press coming back in?
Yeah, we'll just invite the press back and we'll start the recording again.
Right.
Okay, so while in closed session, the following was agreed. Item 16, Dunard Overflow Car Park Business Case. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Trainer, seconded by Councillor McAvoy, to commence the Dunard Park Overflow Car Park Capital Project, subject to planning, as per the previously agreed budget outlined in 4.1 of the Officer's Report, and approve the Dunard Park Overflow Car Park Business Cases as per Appendix 2. Item 17, Community Trails Update Business Case and Capital Monies Approval. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Trainer, seconded by Councillor McMurray, to approve capital costs and council match funding for the Community Trails Project 2021 and the annual maintenance and upkeep costs for Community Trails as per Appendix 1 of the Officer's Report. It was further agreed to approve the Community Trail Project's business cases for 21-22 as per Appendix 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 of the Officer's Report. Item 18, business case, ball stop requirements at Castlewellan Community Centre, 3G pitch. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, seconded by Councillor McMurray, to approve the business case for ball stop requirements at Castlewellan Community Centre, 3G pitch, and the procurement of option 2 and installation of a Skynet at the 3G pitch in Castlewellan. And item 19, Newcastle Rockpool update. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, seconded by Councillor Traynor, to clarify the viability of the project and progress pre-planning application discussions with statutory organisations, including but not limited to Planning, HED, NIEA and Marine Division, prior to progressing a full business case and detailed feasibility options. It was further agreed to allocate an additional fund to Council's capital programme as outlined in the officer's report to facilitate further engagement with statutory consultees, consultants working on Council's behalf, and to complete any further survey work should this be required.
Brilliant. That's the final item on the agenda anyway, sir, is it? Yeah. So here, the meeting's over. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everybody a happy and peaceful Christmas, just in case we don't meet up again, and a prosperous New Year.
Happy Christmas. Well done.
Same sentiments to everybody.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you, Chair. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Yeah. Happy Christmas. Sure.
I see some of you.